So tonight, I want to mention a little more about spiritual warfare. When we engage in spiritual warfare, we should expect, honestly, we should expect negative feelings and reactions. And honestly, that's from us. I know in spiritual warfare, which I'll be honest with you here in the past several days, actually longer than that, but more so in the last few days, I've been dealing with it firsthand, and it gives you got negative feelings toward it, and it's tough. Now Jeremiah, he was called by God to carry out, honestly, a losing battle. You got to feel for Jeremiah when you read about poor old Jeremiah. He was called into this battle. Now, we know that we've won the war, okay? The war's been won. But there's going to be a lot of battles between here and there. Now, God called him to carry out a losing battle that was against evil. And really, from the beginning, Jeremiah felt insecure and he felt intimidated. Though, nonetheless, he had great compassion for his people. He still faced a continued rejection from them, even threats on his life. And it's not surprising, honestly, that his compassion, and really he was intense with his compassion, that it often turned to anger. And at times, he even got mad at God. And so don't think it wild or crazy of you if you even do that yourself. If you, in your Christian walk, because we do our best in our Christian walk, or should be trying to do our best to carry out what the Lord wants us to do, but we're also living here. And so we see firsthand what's going on, and I get angry with what's going on. And then if it's going on with the church, I get even more angry. And so there's some times I've even been on a little on the anger side, like, why do I have to deal with this? And God said, because I called you. But anyway, but now the Lord reassured him and of his presence and his power, and he reassures us as well. And Jeremiah, even at times, wished he had never been born. Go with me over to the book of Jeremiah. If you find Isaiah, you need to go back the other way. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, and we might get that far tonight. I don't know. We're going to hang out in Jeremiah. But Jeremiah, chapter 20, and in verse 14, he says, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed by the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. So you see, now Jeremiah felt really, I mean, he was being attacked from all sides. And sometimes we feel that way ourselves, especially you watch the news, things going on in the church, you feel attacked from it. Jeremiah even got to the point, he said, I ain't talking no more. He said, I'm not gonna say your name. But then he says, oh, but it was in my bones like a fire, and I could not stay. He says, I had to talk about it. You know, and that's true. Whenever the Lord lays a message on my heart, it's I'm like, really? And I tested and I tested and I'm like, but I have to do it. Because when the Lord lays it on your heart, you got to do that. So, but in spite of all the challenges that Jeremiah had, in spite of all the problems that he had serving the Lord, and we need to remember that, in spite of all of the situations that come about as we serve the Lord, despite of all of what America's talking about and the things going on that just really get to you, there are those that are above the law. In spite of all that, of what was going on with Jeremiah, he remained faithful all the way to the very end. And we need to remain faithful all the way to the end. Jeremiah's experience really parallels Paul's. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he stated that he and his fellow missionaries, they despaired even of life. 2 Corinthians 1:8. He wasn't even sure they were going to live for what they were doing. He outlined his challenges, his difficulties that he faced when carrying the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We might come back to Jeremiah tonight, but I got a feeling we may not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul, he says, verse 24. Yeah, I think that's where I want to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, he said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, he got hit 39 times. Thrice, he says, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Now, we only read of one shipwreck that I know of, if my memory serves me right. That's in Acts. We only read of the one time, but he said three times. He said, spent a night and a day out in the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. We kind of see that going on in our own country. Our own countrymen are turning against Christians very slowly, but nonetheless they're doing so. He says, in perils by the heathen. Well, you expect that. He said, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. We've experienced some of that. Now I lost my place. Oh, 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. I don't think any of us had ever went hungry. Not really. I mean, I'm kind of hungry right now, but I'm talking hungry. Like, you ain't had nothing to eat, and you don't know where you're going to get it. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. In other words, all these things, he said, that comes upon him daily. All of what he went through, there's spiritual warfare. He said, and then I got the problems of, they come to me daily. And I understand what he means by that. And then he says, and the care of all the churches. Paul had started a lot of missions in his time. And he worried about them constantly. Matter of fact, he wrote a lot of letters to them sitting in prison. And he even told them, I'd love to come see you, but Satan hinders me. That's what he told the Thessalonians. He said, I want to come see you, but hey, Satan hindered me. So he had a lot on his plate. You see, we've got to remember that these come forth in our lives. Now, 2 Corinthians 29 says, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. You see, we need to remember that in spite of the severe persecution, feelings of despair, we're to put on the whole armor of God. That's in Ephesians 6:11. And I got something bothering my eye, but oh well. Even in the most difficult circumstances, you think of whatever you think of the most difficult circumstances, Satan can be defeated. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, he can be defeated. Now, but we've got to walk in God's strength. To walk worthy of our calling, our great calling, that is, in Christ, we have got to rely on the strength and protection of God. We have to do that. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. In this letter that he wrote to the Ephesians, Paul explained that in Christ we have access to God's immeasurable, unreal, untouchable, however you want to put it, power. Amen. It was an unreal strength. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you're in Corinthians, keep going to the right. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll read 19 through 23. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now, catch this, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So, we have access to the power that God has that it took to raise Jesus from the dead and set Him down on the right hand of God. We have that access to. He says in verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, in Ephesians it says, chapter 6, we don't fight against flesh and blood, we fight against principalities and power of the air. It just stated, it's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world. So it doesn't matter even who they've named in great power, who they might have said is a God with a little g, because there is only one God with a big G. But not only in this world, but also in the one which is to come. One of these days, we're going to move to the next one. One of these days, we're going to... You see what's going to happen? I'll give you a brief. Just a quick. We're going to get raptured. Then the tribulation period is going to start. That's right. The tribulation period is going to last for 7 days. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, then we're going to be at the, which is Revelation 19, is the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're going to be there. Then we're going to come back on horses with the Lord, what it says. And I don't know who's going to shoe them all, but that may be part of my job. I don't know. just kidding. We're going to get back. The Battle of Armageddon is going to be beginning. And Christ is going to ride in, shut it all down.
That's right.
He's going to destroy the enemy. And then immediately He's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Now, there's been a lot of speculation about that throne. Is it going to be the new Jerusalem hovering over the earth at that time? I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that. But I do know it says He's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to be on the throne of David for 1,000 years. We're going to live on this earth. The one that's present right now. But we're going to be in a perfect state. We're not going to have to worry about sin no more. We don't have to worry about getting sick. We won't have any problems. Now, there'll still be normal folk around that's going to have problems. But we're not going to have to worry about that. We may have a job of ruling the city or whatever it may be. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, that's what we're going to be doing. Which, by the way, is the whole idea of being a disciple of Christ, being in the New Testament church, following the Lord the best you can, that's being a disciple of Christ. That is the whole idea behind that. That's the rewards that is being talked about in the Bible that Paul talks about. The talents, it speaks of in Matthew. The pounds that it speaks of in, I believe, Matthew as well. That's what all of that is talking about. That's talking about the future tense. It's what I've done here that is pleasing to the Lord. And He said, well, you've done good with what I give you. Look what I'm going to give you now. And so during that time, now the 12 apostles, which there's a lot of arguments about who they'll be, we know 11 of them for sure. I don't think Matthias is going to make it in there above Paul, but I could be wrong. But there are going to be 12 of them that's going to judge the nations around this entire world why they treated Jerusalem the way they have all these years. And then there's going to be... Understand, the devil is going to be bound up for 1,000 years. When Christ goes, sits on the throne of David, he's going to bound Satan up in chains, put him in the bottomless pit. He's just going to be there for 1,000 years. But then, he's loosed for a little season. You know what he gets to do? He gets to run around and try to convince people again, we're going to do this, we're going to win this time. And it says, don't get this battle mixed up with Ezekiel. It says Gog and Magog, the battle. That's at the end of the 1,000 years. Ezekiel 38:39 is a whole different thing. It's on the edge right now of happening. This is after the 1,000 years, God is going to come back and He's going to say, and it's done. Devil, false prophet, the whole nine yards, they're thrown into the lake of fire. He's going to pull everybody out of hell. They're going to all go stand before the great white throne judgment. They're going to stand there and they're going to say, well, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And He's going to cast it all into the lake of fire. Yeah. Then this whole world is going to be totally burned up. Then it says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Don't ask me where we're going to live. I'm thinking we might be in the New Jerusalem, but I'm not going to. I'm thinking, but we're also going to be able to come to the earth. There's going to be trees, there's going to be fruit. It's going to be what the Garden of Eden was before sin entered in. But we won't have to worry about it no more. Now, that's just a run through. So, look, we've got a lot to look forward to. Now, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and world without end. Amen. You see, now, Paul concluded this stuff. I really love the way Paul concluded when he was over in chapter 6. He reminds all believers of our responsibility. He reminds us that in order to receive God's amazing strength. To be able to use that strength, that power, it's our task, really, to take and use the spiritual equipment God provides, which is breastplate, the helmet of salvation. We'll go through all that one day. Paul described it piece by piece. Verses 14 through 17 of chapter 6. Yeah. And then he concluded it. He ended this whole deal with the importance of something called prayer. And it's pray. Here, let's read verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means all of us that are saved. That means even the ones we got problems with. That means even the ones we have to pray and say, Lord, help me to forgive this. Somebody asked me this. If I'm forgiving, if I'm willing to forgive a person, but I need help forgiving that person, will the Lord hear my prayer by asking for the help? Because I know my prayers are hindered because I'm not forgiving.
That's
a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
Well, let me ask you, let me put it to you this way. An unsaved person walking around out here, and he says, oh, Lord God, we need rain for crops to die. Does the Lord hear that person? No. They're unsaved. He don't hear it, dude. But if that person says, oh, God, I realize what I am and what I'm doing ain't getting there, I need you. I believe in Jesus. Please, Jesus, save me. Does he hear that prayer? So this is my gemology take. Whenever I realize I need to forgive someone, but it's like, I know I got problems. But if I cry out unto the Lord, He already knows where I'm headed before I get there.
That's right.
He knows that I'm looking for the strength I need to forgive this person.
Through Him.
I'd say He steps out and says, okay, I'm going to help you out. And He gives me the strength. Because listen, there's some people I have forgiven in my life that if they walked in tonight, I'd have a hard time not choking. I mean, that's the flesh. But I forgive them. I don't lose any sleep over it. I don't have an issue with it. I forgive what they've done. No biggie. I ain't worried about it. But the Lord, I do need strength if they come around. I gotta stay calm and collected. Sit down and relax. And I'll preach to them. I believe the Lord stepped in when we make that conscious decision on anything. The Lord says, I'll be there. You draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And so, hopefully that answered that question. But we have got to do that. Now, since we're out of time, I'm not going to go too far into this. But now, Paul told us in verses 18, and he also told us in 19. I didn't read 19. He says, and for me, 18 again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In other words, don't just blabber it. Be serious about what you're doing. And watching thereunto with all perseverance, all endurance, all striving to do what you need to do, and supplication for all saints and for me. Now, we don't have to pray for Paul no more, but you know people you need to pray for. You know pastors you need to pray for. Pray for them. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So honestly, we should pray for each person that we know that is a saint, that they would have the boldness to speak what they need to speak to people about the Lord Jesus. But I'm going to ask you, just like Paul did, pray for me that I have the boldness. No matter what they all decide out there or the laws come about, that I'll have the boldness to keep running my mouth as long as it's about the Lord Jesus. Because we need that. You see, we can be victorious over Satan and his evil little demons. He's got his little minions that he's got running. We can win the battles. We may lose some. Get up and go again. But we can, because we have the Lord Jesus. And we draw on His strength. And if we're going to draw on His strength, guess what we got to respond to Him with? It's called obedience.
Amen.
You see, when we get out of sync with Him, we're being hindered.
That's right.
So if we'll respond to Him in obedience, then He responds to us with what we need to win the battles. Now, I don't want to get into this because it's kind of lengthy, but I am going to run it by you so you'll be thinking about it for when I do bring it up, which will probably be a week from tonight, maybe. Practically speaking, just us normally speaking here, and being practical about it. And you don't, I don't want you answering it right now, but I want you to think of it. How do we put on the whole armor of God? You know, if I had a bunch of armor laying up here, I could show you how it goes on piece by piece. But so I want you to think about that. How, practically speaking, do we put on the whole armor of God? What does it take in order for us to put on this armor that you don't see? Think on that. No, you can't answer. I had an old preacher tell me one time, he said, look, he said, young fella, he said, when you feed the cows, do you give them all the corn in the bin at one time? I said, no. He said, well, you don't give them the whole 9 yards. He said, you give them a little bucket full, and then they'll come back for the next bucket. So that's what we're doing. All right. Let's be dismissed. Let's stand.